Okay, so we have been talking about this formula for evangelism. And what I tried to do is I first tried to put together an introduction where we looked at there are people in our lives who need salvation. And I tried to paint a picture that we need to pray for them, invest in their lives, and then invite them to the gospel, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to become born again. And so it's a formula for evangelism. There is no formula that's going to mathematically 100% work every single time and stuff, but this is a good starting place. And these are good things that you can do to help win the lost, to pray for them, to invest in their lives, and to invite. And I tried to challenge you to put someone in your mind that you would like to use this for. And many of you have even come and you've said, this is the person who I've thought about, and I thank you for that. And some people I've joined them in praying for the salvation of that person. And we need to keep doing that, because we want the lost to be won for Jesus Christ. And we talked about the importance of it. I gave testimony, example of how prayer makes a difference in the lives of others. And a few weeks ago, I shared the unshackled story of Dave Pearson, of a young man who was prayed for and accepted the Lord as his Savior. And then he prayed for his father, and his father came to know the Lord as his Savior. And this happened while they were praying, and they didn't even know. In both of those cases, they didn't even know that they had accepted the Lord as their Savior. And then we talked about the importance of prayer. And we tried to take that person and we tried to think about the fact that the enemy is doing his best against them, and that someday they're going to stand before the great white throne judgment unless their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That day will be a terrible day, and that's why we need to be prayer warriors. And we talked about how being a prayer warrior is a labor of love. It's a job. And so we've talked about all this stuff in review. And our heart has been burdened. And maybe we get come to tonight and we say, I've been praying. I am praying. I've been sharing my faith, laying it out before them, putting everything I have into trying to win them for Jesus Christ, and now they don't want to hear it. And I don't want to bother them. I don't want to be a bother. And it just seems like it's getting nowheres. And remember, this part that we're talking about today, and we have been talking about, is praying for them. And you feel, how can I pray? What should I pray? Maybe God is tired of hearing my requests, or my requests are selfish. These are some of the things that I don't know how to pray. These are some of the concerns, the requests that I have for people. And how ought I to pray? And I put down up here to cry out day and night. And I've got Luke 18. 1-8 written there. And I'd like to read that passage to you. It says, I'll give you a second to turn there as we look in Luke 18, 1-8, as we look at the parable of the persistent widow. Maybe a parable that we've heard before, but one that we can be reminded of as we consider the peril and danger that our loved one is in, and how important it is that we be involved in the labor of love, of prayer. Let's read this passage. It says, "Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me and my adversary. and he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Think about it. We have a Heavenly Father that can do anything. He can do anything that he pleases, and he is the Almighty, Omnipotent, Omniscient God. He is everywhere, he knows anything, and he works and he does things in his own special way, in his own special time, and he has put people on this earth and given them a choice to accept them as their personal Savior. And he has the ability to move heaven and earth to give the person opportunity to come to know Jesus Christ. And we want more than anything for our loved one to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and to become part of his kingdom and to know the joy and peace that we've experienced because of a relationship with Jesus Christ and to know what new life is all about. To get excited about what the believer calls being born again. And we want them to know that. And we pray, and we feel that we don't know how to put that into words, and we want to pray to God, how should we do that? This passage here says, cry out day and night. The judge answered the request of this persistent woman because he was going to get tired of her coming and asking daily, repeatedly, over and over again. A judge finally says, I've had it. You've come to me again and again. I don't really care about your case or your problems, but I'm going to listen to you because I'm getting tired of hearing from you. It's interesting that that's how God asks us to pray to him on a couple of different occasions. Sometimes we feel we don't want to bother God. It's interesting. Sometimes you have people say, I don't want to bother you. And they, but you'd like to help them. And you're like, well, bother me. I'd like to help you. I'd like to be a helper. And you don't feel it. And I feel that's the way God is with us. He wants us to bother him. When we have problems, he wants us to bother him. He'll take care of it. We've had a little problem at the Wilson house recently. And when we moved in, we knew we had some squirrels living around our house and trying to get up in our attic and make their home up there. So we put a trap out, and we caught a squirrel, and caught a squirrel, and caught a squirrel, and thought that we were winning the battle with this trap. I mean, it was like days where we caught three squirrels in one day with one trap, one live trap. I took them, I released them, set the trap back up, caught another squirrel. And it was like that, like in the spring and in the summer. We brought so many squirrels to Port Crane. And so, figure if they're on this side of the river. But then we got a real problem. Because we got rid of all the gray squirrels. Then we got the red squirrels. This fall, we got the red squirrels. And so, in the middle of the night, we could hear them chewing on walnuts up in the attic. And just chewing on walnuts and chewing on walnuts. And you get pretty mad at those squirrels. I went up in the attic in the crawl space. I shined my light down there. And I could see their beady little eyes staring back at me. And I told them that the worst night was the night before we went down to my brother's. And, you know, we knew we were flying at like, we were going to pick up my parents at like 5 in the morning. And so we knew we had to get up early. And so about 1 o'clock in the morning, there they are, chewing on the walnuts up in the... And so I said, Michelle, when we get back from New Orleans, I'm going to war against the red squirrels. So Friday, I was up in the attic. I was crawling around in the crawl space on my hands and knees and on my stomach at times. I was putting up screens and finding out, I think I found all the places to get, I know. I'll be crawling up there again and setting killer rat traps and plugging places up, climbing up on the side of the house and just really going to war against those things. Taking their walnuts and throwing them out the window. Everything. But I had no desire to go through that attic crawl space. It was not fun. I did not enjoy it one bit. I was sweating. I was breathing in stuff I didn't want to breathe in. And it was just not fun. But you know why I went up in that attic? Because those things were bothering me. And I was going to do something about it. You know what this passage of Scripture says? If you care about the salvation of a loved one, and maybe they don't want to hear the gospel anymore, they're tired of you telling them how to live or what to do, you don't know what to say, and you love them, and you care about them deeply, and maybe you're like, God, I pray for them every morning. You know what God's saying here? You want me to do something about it? Be a red squirrel in my attic. In the middle of the night, when you're worried about that loved one, when you spend time with them during the holidays, and you're like, you want to say something to them. You want to tell them exactly what they should do. You know, you need to go to church. You need to read your Bible. You need to be praying. You need to give your life to the Lord. Go to church. You can get the help you need. You can find Jesus Christ as your Savior. And all these things that are ruining your life and your problems, you can have God to help you. And you know what God's done in your life, and you wish they would get it. And you don't know what else to do. Go to God like a red squirrel. Cry out to Him day and night. In the middle of the night, when you think even God must be asleep, He's not. I love the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. That's one of my favorite encounters in all of the Bible. When they're standing there in Mount Carmel, and Elijah says, maybe you guys ought to... Maybe your God's going to the bathroom. Or maybe He's taking a nap. Or maybe He's gone on a long journey and you got to shout louder. Our God doesn't take bathroom breaks. He doesn't take naps. He's not gone on vacation. But He begs you. He says, bother me about this. Because I love you. And for you, I'll act. Now, ultimately, the decision of coming to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior is between that loved one and the Savior. But I believe that God will put situations, and He will do things, and He will move in ways that will be seen in eternity, to get the gospel and their need of salvation and to bring thoughts into their mind. Maybe as you are in the middle of the night going to God and telling God all of your problems and just pouring your heart out to Him and bothering Him and bothering Him and bothering Him with your requests, maybe in the middle of that night He will do something. He will wake up that loved one and help them realize the seriousness of their sins and that today they need to make a choice about salvation. And maybe that'll be the thing that brings them to faith in Jesus Christ. You don't know. But when I say cry out day and night, I'd like you, maybe, I don't know, some, maybe you printed out, I have Barb email everybody these notes before I begin this. And so maybe if you've got that piece of paper, you print it out, just write on there, bother God like a red squirrel bothers you. Or maybe your problem isn't red squirrel, maybe it's the mice or some other rodent or spiders or snakes or something that you need to get rid of and will drive you to action. Bother God like that. Maybe in next to your Bible, in Luke 18 says, be persistent in prayer. You might say, okay, you know, God gave this nice parable, but I'd like you to turn over to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. I remember first hearing this about the Lord's Prayer and the Lord's Prayer's connection with the salvation of the lost and being persistent in prayer. I can remember where I was when I heard this, and I believe it was John MacArthur who I heard talking about this, and I remember it was at a Gideon dinner meeting, and this came up from Luke chapter 11, where it says, now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread and forgive our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer him from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give it to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because of his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as he needs. We need to be persistent in prayer. Those squirrels got me up in the middle of the night and made me get up into that attic, shine that little flashlight down there, and that's what God is, how God has asked us to pray. We should pray discerningly. We should pray discerningly. We should pray for the Lord to send laborers. Normally, this is a passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 9 that we would read on a missionary Sunday about sending missionaries to the mission field, right? A very, very familiar passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 to 38, where it says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And normally we'd use that as we heard Jonathan and Angela Stone, and we'd say, maybe God's calling you, and who's going to be the next missionary to go to the 1040 window and share the gospel with the lost and the unreached people groups of the world? And I'm saying, yeah, that fits this passage. But I think it also fits when we think about our best friend who doesn't know Jesus Christ. And we've talked to them, and because we're as familiar to them as an old shoe, they say, oh, you know, that's Pastor Scott. He's a pastor, and he said that a million times, and that's just him. Maybe they won't listen to us. And maybe we say, God, they're not listening to me. Will you put someone else that will share the gospel that might pique their interest? And maybe we ought to pray for a laborer, the person who God knows best, to reach them. Maybe it's not mom and dad's message that's going to get the message of the gospel across. But maybe a coworker who they watch every day and they say, you know what? That person, their life is different than everybody else. And that coworker comes up to them and shares the gospel, and they're the light in the darkness that they needed. And God will use someone else. So maybe that we need to pray that when we can't get that message across and we feel we've done all we can, that God will provide the right person. And we don't know who it is. Some unknown person that will come. We need to pray for other believers to encounter them. I mean, as much as we would love to be there, to see God answer our prayer, and to let us be standing next to that person when they finally make that decision, the truth of the matter is, in the scope of eternity, when we think about the eternal ramifications of salvation through the finished work of Jesus Christ and eternity in heaven, does it matter if you were there and you were the one that shared the gospel at the moment that that person came to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? I don't care if it's me sharing the gospel, if it's Pastor Baker sharing the gospel, if it's someone in this church sharing the gospel, or if it's someone down the street. If my loved one comes to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and spend eternity in heaven, let it happen any way possible. Under any situation, right? That's all that matters, is we want them to spend eternity in heaven. That was the attitude that Paul had in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, where Paul says, well, let's start in verse 5. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom ye believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither let he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. In the end, all I care about is that that person comes to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And if I'm praying, I'm doing the most important foundational part. We're going to talk in the next few weeks, we're going to talk about investing and inviting. Those things are important. But our foundation and our evangelism, what it needs to, where we need to begin, what we need to start with, and what we need to do daily, and when we can't do anything else, we can pray, right? Right? And we also need to finally pray for opportunity to share our faith. That God will open the door. That He will provide just the right moment and the right time. It's amazing, God's perfect, perfect timing. Let's turn in our Bibles over to the book of Hebrews. Excuse me, Philemon. Why did I say Hebrews? And let's read Philemon chapter 1 and verse 6. That the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. We need to pray that when we share our faith, it will be effective, that God will use it. I always try to pray before every church service that God will accomplish the thing that He has intended with the Word of God. There is nothing that could come out of my mouth that could be superior to these words, right? There's nothing that could come out of your mouth that would be superior to the inspired Word of God. And God is going to take this book and He is going to use it in His way and at His time like only He can. And this book, the words of this book and the truth of this book are going to be the things that save someone's life. Save someone's soul for all of eternity. So as you share your faith, you might say, the words that fall out of my mouth, they're not what I intend. This is what I meant to say, and it didn't come out right. Or I don't know exactly the words in the Bible verses. They don't, I prepared everything, and then in the moment, it just kind of, blah. You know what I mean. We need to pray that God will take the words and make them be effective and use them. And let's look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 19 as we wrap up this idea of praying for that lost one. Ephesians chapter 6, you know, is talking about spiritual warfare. And on the last side, I said that we've got an adversary. This is a battle. This is a great, amazing, eternal battle. And prayer is the most powerful weapon that we have to go before the throne and to intercede on the behalf of that loved one that we want to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 19, it says, "And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." We need to pray that God will take our words, our thoughts, and give us opportunity to open our mouth at the right time and share our faith, and that it will be effective. And He will help us. And I think it's perfectly okay for you to, when you have someone you want to share your faith to, and you're nervous, and you're trying to build up the courage to share your faith with that person, and that they will accept the gospel, it's perfectly okay to the whole time just to beg and plead with God that He will give you the words to speak. And just keep on pleading to Him. He's not going to get tired of you asking Him for wisdom and the words to speak, to do these things. And you wonder what? When I think about praying to God and I think about begging Him, And I think about him answering our prayers. Think about back in the Old Testament. And also in the New Testament. When God talks about the importance and value of his name. And why he will act for his name's sake. When we pray and we beg God, he is going to act because that is what God does. And his name is very, very, very important to this world. And there are some people that are very concerned that they have a good name. And they will step out to make sure that the people around them observing will see that they have a good name and a good reputation in the community. Sometimes we think that that's what politicians do, but sometimes it seems like politicians don't care what people in the community think about the things and their actions and that they're doing. But God cares about his reputation. And the children of Israel, when they left Egypt, God said, I'm going to act so that the world will see what I've done with you, my people. How I deal with you, I will stake my reputation that I acted on your behalf. In the New Testament, Jesus says, I will answer your requests for my name's sake. Jesus Christ is going to go before his Father and say, Father, this is what you do. You act in ways that only you can. Now do that. Answer this person's request. Tonight, as we go home and as we continue to pray, and we begin to learn, and next week we're going to talk about how we can begin investing. As we begin and get ready to invest, and as we pray, this week, I want you to beg God and to bother him and to go before the throne on your knees and say, and like a red squirrel, just chew in his ear all week and say, God, answer my requests. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you listen to our prayers and that you answer them. Lord, I pray that you will hear from heaven our requests about our loved one, and that we'll cry out to you day and night, that we'll boldly come before you. And Lord, I pray that in your way and in your time, that you will send people to be able to share the gospel with that loved one. Lord, we don't care how they come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Through our testimony, through the testimony of a Bible placed in a nightstand, through a tract passed out on the street, through a minister heard over the radio, to, Lord, a help center, or just someone walking and walking into a church door. Lord, we don't care how they come to know you as their personal Savior. Our desire is that they find you, and that they learn what it means to be born again, to believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And Lord, tonight, I pray that you might open doors and help us to be effective as we share our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.